Blog Talk Radio.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
Not again.
Please rise for the national anthem, performed by film and recording artist Nona Gay in a special duet with her late father, Marvin Gay.
Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SARFM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. And it's another show. We open all shows with John Coltrane's legendary, iconic. Dear Lord, and we use it for the prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for the little things we so largely take for granted. We want your way to be our way, your will, our will. We thank you for blessings forthcoming, blessings have come and all unmerged. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus. And remember that, Lord, as we pray on Thanksgiving Day, every day is Thanksgiving. As Christmas comes and Jesus is the reason for the season, as Gloria Gaynor so aptly put in one of her great records. We thank you, Lord, that you bless our family here in New York City, my family and friends in Brazil, and my family members of the panel. But more importantly, Lord, we want to thank you for your God all by yourself, lady once said. And we thank you, Lord, that although we may not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue. Bless you. Bless everybody out in Staten Island and also in Far Rockaway, but also those in Palestine across the world. We just thank you, Lord, for being our God, the one and only true God. As the Pharaoh said in the movie, Moses God, the one true God. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we acknowledge you, and we honor you. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. And you know, Dusty, you know, I listened to that intro that we used when we were at SCR from radio. And there's so many fond memories, and it's so apropos that, you know, you're always to come in. But, you know, we look back, Dusty, man, that was fun, man. That was fun. We cut our teeth. We're always going to be indebted to Shaka and Lady right. D. Ginger Shula and also Blake. But we had to, and you saw the growth. Remember how at first we had to look against the wall and go online and plant this thing, and then we got updated where he set it up differently. And then the next thing you know, you had got so big for your bridges, you had your own show and stuff. I was trying to find a way to sabotage you, but I couldn't find you. But it was the growth, man. And, you know, one of the highlights of what we did, I mean, that music show you had. But that time, we'll never forget, when we got the last on-air ready interview with Jerry Reese as he was getting ready to go out. Remember, he called us back. We called him. Left a message in his room, and he called us back.
He called us back, man. That was
and we talked for a while, and the last thing we said, because, I mean, they were heavy underdogs, and we said, hey, we want to just congratulate the general manager of the world champion New York Giants, and we turned out to be soothsayers. But, you know, he went out, and you said something that was so profound last night, and this is Dusty X. Lois now, and we talked about how there's no seem to be any standard of blame, any sort of pointing of fingers, any sort of recognition or notoriety toward the GM of the New York Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Tannenbaum. And you said something last night because he ain't Jets. I mean, you know, we've said this before, Dusty. You know, when the Jets lose, it's Sanchez. They didn't play Tebow. Rex Ryan didn't do the right thing. They're missing Revis. Sean Green didn't run well. The defense is not doing anything.
Everybody did except Tannenbaum. But it's a funny thing that you should say that, because in today's news, I read an article where who's the owner? Willie Wilson or whatever.
Woody Johnson.
He called a meeting last week before the Sunday game of all the staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Tannenbaum, and Rex Ryan, and was it Pavano? Everybody who had anything to do, the defensive coach, quarterback coach, offensive coach, everybody who's on the sideline. And he said, this is the midseason. I want to make sure that we do everything right and we get a victory this Sunday. And I'm wondering if that is a little too late, when he should have had this at the beginning of the season with the confusion of Tebow,
to
flounder.
Big thing that came down with that, though, as I put in Doc Stanley's Sports and Depth, Trust in God Radio Network, and was on my Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, blogspot.com.br. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, blogspot.com.br. I put a story in there, and the story I put on was that Woody had said that he was more concerned with getting Romney into office,
beating Obama, than he was getting
the Super Bowl, Dusty.
You know, and that was Bush League, and that was dirty, and that was racist. I mean, and you know, I joke about racial paranoia, but that was racist. He had no right to inject politics into sports, especially when he has a team that promised so much and delivered so little, if anything. And he'd rather continue on a losing streak in order for his boy Romney to become president. That was dirty. And if they lose every step of the way till the end of the season, especially when they're going to get carved up by the Patriots in Thanksgiving, I don't expect them just to win this game. I'll be shocked. For Sanchez's sake, I would like him to win, but I don't think so. But for him to make that stupid remark, let me tell you something, Doc. That message was carried on through a lot of institutions that had no business getting involved with politics. I wasn't, you know, I'm a religious man, but at that particular day, I didn't go to church. My wife went to church. And at the end of the sermon, the priest gets up and he says to the parishioners, you know, we want to make sure that you are voting in the right direction and to make sure that you vote for Romney, a priest saying that in church as part of his sermon. How dare you? You see? So it's not...
Hey, Dusty, go back.
Wait a minute.
He said in the right direction?
Wait a minute. Don't interrupt. Let me finish because I'll repeat what you just said. It's to inject in a place where you worship, and this is had nothing to do with politics, to inject a political direction. And this is what he said, to make sure that we do the right thing and vote Romney into office. I mean, come on. So here you're dealing with a sports owner of a franchise injecting politics into sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd rather have a 0-16 season in reward for his candidate Romney to get into office. How dirty can you be? How dirty? You know what is so sad about this, or joyful to me anyway, is the fact. And let me finish this term paper here that I'm trying to tell you. is the fact that if all the Republicans had to present to oppose Obama was Romney and Ryan, and Obama's first try was McCain and Sarah Palin, man, the country is in deep doo-doo, okay? And I don't see now, as I'm thinking and generating some hope for the next 4 years, that the Democrats are going to come up with any viable candidate, because this is Obama's last term, outside of the gossip that is Hillary Clinton quit his cabinet because she is thinking of running for office, you know, for the president, and Bill Clinton is pushing her. So I'm saying, if that's who they got, for God's sake, why don't we invoke the two term limit and let Obama run a third term? Because he is the only articulate person that knows the ways of the world and what he's trying to do.
Good point.
They did
it here in New York with the mayor.
Yeah, well, exactly. If he can do it and that was illegal, I mean, you could invoke that rule and let him run a third term, because what do they have? I mean, he now is pushing and he started some of the programs in his first term of office. Now he's really going to push to get things done, especially what I'm glad about, the immigration bill. And yet, here you have an owner of a franchise talking this trash, and then we have a priest talking this trash in a house of worship. my God, this is a real garbage world. Did you read the aftermath of the election? Southern states were angry because he was back into office, and I'm gonna tell you exactly the quote. Man, we're stuck another 4 years with this animal. Man, Doc, this is a man, a father, a husband, a good person who wants to do right by people, and he's nothing but an animal? Wow. And then the second story, see, because I scrutinize everything, you know, I tell you, I read 4 or 5 newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, the Times, and here was another article, how states were trying to invoke the secession rule, like the Civil War. They wanted to break away from the Union because Obama was back in the presidency. Wow. My God. You know, I know this is sports in depth, but a lot of this migration to what we're talking about. How could this country survive with so much hatred for a person of color? And he's not dirty. He took a shot in his first term and won it. They kept saying it was a fluke, a one-time president. He reran again and won by a bigger landslide. So how wrong was this? How unqualified was this man? My God. And so getting back to the Jets, I mean, he now wants desperately to say, get the stuff together, and I want a victory. You know, a victory for what? Half the season. I don't think the Jets are going to get out of any hole. These teams are too. Look at. I'm watching the 49ers destroy Chicago Bears, 32-7. 49ers. God in heaven. You know, so how and the 49ers blanked the Jets. So how can you expect these guys to get anywhere? Can you tell me that, Doc? Can you really tell me any salvation for the Jets? You know,
First of all, you have to look at the situation. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Dusty X there, Harold Weston Jr., Double Barrel Harold has just joined us.
Hey, buddy. Okay.
You know, it's that great line that is, and it's so apropos to the Harold jumped in. That great line, sad and touching. And I've always said, and Ali said something years ago. I remember at the Ali Norton press conference, the last outdoor fight in the history of boxing in the 20th century, in the history of New York City, and the history of Madison Square Garden. Ali Norton, and they had called a press conference. They called a press conference because the rumor was Ali's jaw had gotten broken. And Ali said something I'll never forget. Two things. You know, and this is a guy who says so much profound stuff. He said, I'm only here. He said, you know, this is ludicrous. He said, I'm only here, this press conference, because of John Condon, because he had a close friendship with John. They were like family. And he said, you know, here's the crazy thing. He said, well, two things. He said, you know what? To me and Kenny Norton, I'm going to be in the front page of newspapers all across the country tomorrow. He said, and on the way up here from Philly, he said, some people got killed in a car accident. He said, you may see a small story about that. You may see a small story about that. But me and Kenny are going to be everywhere. He said, you know, the problem with America is that sports is a religion in America. And you don't see over it. You've seen it, Dusty, and Harold has seen it in two of the three big venues in our society. Both of us saw it, me and you, in civil service, you as a fireman, me as a cop, and me, you, and Harold saw it over in Blatant Wise, military-wise. And sports is always been a big barometer. It's always been a area that's harbored it. And it's just amazing how the difference in how stories are written, you know, where
apropos to what you're saying.
Good.
Is apropos, unless I missed it and I scrutinized newspapers, there were no pictures of Emmanuel Stewart Wake at all. I didn't see any. But there were two pictures, two stories at length of Carmen Basilio. So this is what, you know, we're right on the same page as we're talking about the imbalances
Let's go back, Dusty, to the steroid list. Was 102 names.
Yeah,
and yet,
exactly.
And yet the three names that were leaked, women,
yeah.
Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, and Big Papi. If you go back to when
that was the first target,
when the confessions were made by Giambi and Andrew Pettit, they were quickly done. I mean, the next story you heard about Pettit was how sick his father was. I don't know what that had to do with his use of steroids. And Giambi, who was eased out of town, and now the amazing thing about Giambi, he's up for a manager's job. I mean, you're talking about him getting a manager's job. Here's Willie Randolph, who's cut from the fiber of championships, who was an outstanding manager. Chris Chambliss, a former Rookie of the Year, batting champ. Cecil Gaston, who won back-to-back. We won't even think about their names. And here's Giambi, all of a sudden. I mean, they say he may be the next manager of their name of the teams. But to be even considered, and it doesn't ever change.
Well,
Jack Johnson,
you got the poster child of perjury. Roger Clemens was clean, and he has an intention, or there's rivers of comments that he may come back to the major leagues.
The poster
he's already
child,
playing
and,
in
and,
some,
and Barry Bonds was blackballed. Out of baseball. It's amazing how all of a sudden nobody wanted Barry Bonds. Seven-time MVP, oldest man to win the batting champion, all-time home run king, only guy to do 500, and nobody in baseball wanted Barry Bonds. It was just amazing, Harold. It was really amazing, Harold.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about life, you're going to have those people in our society is always going to criticize and not give people credit what people with credit is due, okay? And reason why, because it's going to overshadow those who they have made, thought they were greater than what they are. And so basically, you can't, unless somebody makes a ruling on how are we going to pursue and make the right people be accountable for what they have accomplished and those who did not accomplish and take those kind of awards back, which they're not, then, we're always going to be in that situation where you got those few, and I'm going to say a few, that's going to hand out those awards to certain people who they want to hand it out, but not the people that really did the job for what they're getting an award for. And that's what's happening in this world today. And you can't. And if you sit there and worry about it, then what you're gonna do? You're gonna fail yourself, and you're gonna just vanish out of here. And they're gonna forget all about you. But my point is that as long as you know in your heart, and they know too, and other people know, that's all that counts. Otherwise, it's not even worth even fighting or going through the changes. Yeah, okay, make a statement, do it, and if it passes, if it doesn't pass, don't worry about it. Because basically, when I see you in the room, and you, me and you is in competition, and you know they gave it to you, but you know who really won that, you don't want to see me in the alley.
it's amazing. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, with the Trust in God Radio Network. Sports in Depth is the show. Trust in God Radio is the network. That's amazing. And I've always said this about fighters. And this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that, I love these guys. Yes, they're family and friends. But you have to stand on their laws. And boxers have always been such credible people. And you guys are talking, I got robbed out of the decision. Okay, I got cheated. But I know, and God knows. And it's an amazing thing about African-Americans and Latins, the ability to forgive. We have no problem. No, we have no problem with interracial marriage. You know what I mean? We take you for what you... And you talked, Dusty, earlier about how this priest gets up and makes this statement in church in the 21st century. It's just... And you look back at the Mormon religion where black and Latin people were seen as animals, and you went back into the days where, we could come to church, but we had to sit upstairs like God had the... Had put us in a different section. He differed us from white people. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just amazing how it has never changed. I mean, one of the biggest reasons, one of the biggest reasons that Muhammad Ali was this vile villain, and besides being a big mouth nigger, he was a black Muslim. Well, you know, didn't the pilgrims come here? Didn't the other people come here because they wanted religious freedom? So he could practice a religion that he wanted to. He could, I mean, the thing Angelo said, you know, he said, you know, they were out to get my guy. I mean, he said, you know, why couldn't his name be Muhammad Ali? He said, John, actors' names ain't their names. John Wayne's name ain't John Wayne. You know
exactly.
What I mean? And, you know, read it. Hold on. You know what we're going to do? We got to be brought into the Trust in God Sports in Depth Radio Network. And without further ado, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, introduce us and bring us into the Sports in Depth Trust in God Radio Network show for the night. Rooney, take it away.
The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. And that indeed is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Mooney, thank you for those kind, complimentary words. Too kind. Far too kind. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. A lot of things to talk about. Big game tonight, the Chicago Bears playing the San Francisco 49ers, and you know, their two starting quarterbacks got knocked out. They're up 27-7 at one time. I think they pulled the game out. But, you know, I said the problem with them is that they don't have a first-quality, a first-line quarterback, but they're beating the Bears, who at one time was seen as one of the two or three elite teams in pro football, but now they're on their route to winning their – losing their second straight big game.
Yeah.
You got to start questioning. But then J.J. Cutler's not in the game. The Cisco Kid has joined us. So we've got the Cisco Kid. That's the X double barrel. Harold Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Big game this week, as Dusty talked. The New England Patriots will invade MetLife Stadium. And two coaches, I found it amazing that the articles that came up, that Bill Belichick, who as recently as 2 years ago, he was seen as a genius, the greatest coach of all times, maybe, and Rex Ryan, one of the popular coaches. They said these were two coaches that guys didn't want to play for. I don't know how in the heck you wouldn't want to play for a guy like Belichick, that all he does is win, and how in the world you wouldn't want to play for a guy like Rex Ryan, who's a player's coach. Anderson Silva, we talked about yesterday, remarkable as Cisco talked about him. Guy's 38 years old, and he's proven to be the Ali.
Well, actually, the fight between GSP and Anderson Silva is actually going to be made in May, I believe. They had talks about it today, maybe Cowboy Stadium or something. So the fight is very close to happening this time. So GSP versus Anderson Silva, you have to look out for it.
Well, that's amazing. You talk about this, Cisco. And you know, Jerry Jones, I mean, you know, he's the guy that made the Pacquiao-Margarito fight. But he's opened that Texas Stadium to a venue that anything and everything can happen.
For everything,
I mean, I think it says a lot about Jerry that he is going to bring that fight to America, which I think will enhance the exposure and allow the kind of publicity that it should get from both Europe, because they're going to get there automatically.
But I will say this. Today, I don't know if you guys read, Thomas Hauser put out an article called PED Mess. And it talked about the whole steroid situation, Floyd Mayweather, Pacquiao, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It seems like I know that Destino always argues with me that Pacquiao is a clean fighter. That's been the beef between me and him for the longest.
He still
you know
is,
what I mean?
As far as I'm
because
round nine, we're in.
But if you read this article, even Floyd Mayweather sounds a little guilty. Floyd, there's a rumor. There's a rumor that Floyd tested positive three times, and the reason why they settled out of court with Pacquiao is because Pacquiao people heard about the rumor, went after Floyd Mayweather, wanted all the documents of his drug testing for his fight against Shane Mosley, his fight against Victor Ortiz and Cotto, and they didn't supply them with none. So that seems suspicious right there. Another thing is that they pointed out that a fighter could be off the drug for several months,
months, yeah.
and still have the effect of the drug, okay? So drug test, and like Victor Conte said, the drug testing done by the Nevada State Commission is a joke. Put it
well,
this way,
Conte,
you started drug testing is a joke.
With.
You understand? And
but
he
you
pretty
see
much
the thing
played,
is,
hold on.
He pretty much made it plain and simple that most of these fighters are drugging, most of them. So, you know, when you see these fighters all of a sudden, they start looking extraordinary, you have to raise a question mark, you know?
Now, Harold, wasn't there some talk about maybe even Ray at one time when he's fighting this guy like Donnie Lalonde that he was possibly messing with some stuff, Harold?
No.
Yeah, there was.
No?
No, it wasn't.
There was no proof of it, but there was because I read about it.
Well, how can you make a statement if you don't have no proof?
No, well, how? I'm not saying that he was.
I'm telling you it wasn't.
No, there was some stories that about it. I'm going to you to find out the source, you know, because, you know, I'm going to the mountaintop with you. I remember the Emanuel Stewart story.
What Ray did, and this is what he did, okay? Mm-hmm. So everybody can get off the kick. Ray, one thing about it, Angelo Dundee and that whole crew, they knew they would never go into it. What they did was just buff Ray up by dealing with some weight. Okay.
Exactly.
It was a weight thing that he was doing. All right. And they learned. And what happened was because fighters never dealt with weights, and Ray was coming from that old school.
Back in history.
So they found. So they found a person that knew about it where it wouldn't affect his speed and have him tighten up in the fight, and so he can be stronger for Donnie Long at 175 and all that. And that's why Ray was built up. So it had nothing to do with no steroids.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. As far as steroids are concerned, there could be a possibility that he could have been on it because at that particular time, steroids was prevalent in sports too. I mean, we could go back to a book that I read about Bruce Lee being on steroids. You know, he's talking about 1971, 72. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, so let's do this. Put everybody on steroids.
First of all, Ray Leonard didn't need any enhancers. Ray Leonard wouldn't need any enhancers to beat up Donnie.
And then you're making an
accusation,
and you don't have no proof, and you just put it on everybody that might have been on steroids. I mean, give athletes or somebody credit.
I'm not saying that Ray Leonard was on steroids. I'm saying that it was prevalent back then. You understand what I'm saying?
It's more prevalent now.
Listen to me. It's more prevalent now than ever. More prevalent now than ever. A lot of guys are juicing it
right now. Because they're weak today. They're weak-minded, they're weak-souled, and they can't fight.
I think the thing that Harold said about the weakness too, it's the thing too is that you know it's like in vogue and everybody's doing it. You know, somebody
Cotto. Cotto fought Margarito, he had plaster in his gloves, right? He fights Pacquiao. There's a suspicion that this guy is on something because he moves up 8 weight classes and he destroys dudes all of a sudden later in his career. You know what I mean? So he might have fought, you know, and Cotto is a legitimate fighter. He, you know, this guy is trying to prove himself as a pro. He's a good fighter, you understand? But he's probably, all his losses are probably to guys that pretty much were on something. I mean, look at the Margarito situation. We know he had plaster in his gloves, and there's a suspicion about Pacquiao because he's never even agreed to take a drug test. You understand? So,
Doc, let me say this, okay? All of this stuff with all these guys, this is nothing new, okay? This goes way back
right.
to the. This goes back even before the days
That's
of the
nonsense.
60s.
That's
when
so
the largest wrestler superstar from the
baseball.
Art Rudd
said it back in the 70s in baseball.
No, not the 70s. This goes even from beyond that to the 60s. When a famous, who turned out to be the famous wrestler, superstar Billy Graham, had at dinner a trial
well,
with the Oakland
baseball,
Raiders.
Rudy. I'm not talking about wrestling, but I'm trying to say, if you'll hear me out, Doc.
What I'm trying to tell you is that this goes way back to when he had a trial with the Oakland Raiders and found out that this so-called miracle drug would happen to be the juice that the guy, and I think he said in 2 months' time, put on 30 pounds of solid muscle. So this is nothing new.
I guess we might as well put Andrew Griffin in there, too, because he had muscles.
Superstar Billy Graham, a.k.a. Wayne Coleman. Superstar Billy Graham.
Today's steroids is a lot more sophisticated than it was back then, because it was kind of new to us and we were kind of, you know, experimenting with it.
These guys today have sophisticated
ways of drugging, and they know how to. They hire these guys just like, you know, Victor Conte used to do. That's why he's good at drug testing these guys. That's why Lamont Peterson got busted. You know, that's why Andre Berto got busted, because he knows what's going on. He knows how sophisticated these guys can be with trying to get past a drug test. And if you look at it, just look at the Olympics. I mean, look at the Olympics. These guys are super athletes. Look at these guys right now when they come into weigh-ins. These guys looking like Adonises all of a sudden. You know, fighters didn't look like that back in the day.
But
you know
you guys missed the point, and this is what I'm trying to say from the very beginning here. Everybody talking, cross-talking each other, and nobody's listening. What I'm trying to make you understand here is this, simply.
That Pacquiao's
clean. Don't turn around because of the panic in other sports and some sporadic guys like the Shane Mosley who admitted taking some medications, okay?
Sporadic?
Sporadic.
You want me to name
sporadic.
The names of fighters that tested positive, dude?
Will you listen? Listen, okay. I'm listening to your blabber, so now listen to what I have to say.
Go ahead.
Blabber part two. Go ahead, Dusty.
Right away, there is, so because of the panic and all the other sports and admitting steroid junkies like the track and field, Merriam Jones and the baseball and all that, okay? You take a person like Manny Pacquiao, and because Floyd Mayweather points a finger at him, he had to because he bulked up 8 weight division. Floyd Mayweather Sr., Mr. Genius, who knows bodybuilding, says, know he has on human growth hormones
Can I pose a question?
Let me finish. He bulked up 2 weight divisions. That's why he's on human growth hormone. That's what I believe. That's nonsense. The media turns around and says, well, Manny, if you're clean and for $40 million, you should take the Olympic test.
Yeah, does.
Because of the fact, if you're clean, you take the test. For $40 million, I would do it. The media carried that cancer.
No, it didn't. That's bull. That's BS.
Yes, they did.
Actually,
the media's
never really said nothing about Pacquiao and steroids. And I would say, I would pose a question. Has any fighter in the history of the sport ever gone up that many weight classes and got a bigger, stronger, and faster? Just name me one fighter that's done it.
What are you talking about? The man
just
went
name,
up
name me
eight
one fighter who's
gone
up in weight.
Weight divisions.
No. Pacquiao was doing this at the age of 30, 32
like
years
Mayweather.
Old.
He didn't
Pacquiao
jump
was doing
okay,
this.
Okay, hold on.
Pacquiao
ding,
doing
ding,
this
ding.
At
what
the
I'm
age
going to do. Hold on, Cisco. Hold on. I mean, because,
history. Let's go back to history. Any fighter, Armstrong, anybody.
There's credence in this. I mean, hold on, Cisco. There's credence in this. I mean, the guys come up 8 weight classes. I mean, and, you know, Harold. Al,
yeah,
I don't hear you. Come on, Al. What do you think? I mean, what's your thoughts, Al?
One thing, you're reaching out of your league, okay? Mm-hmm. Reason why the guys can go up to other weight classes or move up to another weight, because the guys back then could fight. Big difference. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about Manny Pacquiao bulking up and everything, I mean, basically, he has not bulked up to the point of where we're Superman. It's just that the guys today cannot fight. And the reason why he's able to win certain fights, because you got 100 world champions out there with 100 belts. So whatever organization he fought for, and he won a belt in that organization, everybody recognized him as being champion. They say he won 20 belts. And so basically, that's what you're dealing with. Is he legitimate welterweight? Is he a legitimate junior welterweight? We could never tell because of the way this system has gone in boxing and how boxing has been structured for him to win the championship belt. Has he fought all the great ones in every weight class? I'm going to say heck no. But the fact is that as the media and as people in general is putting him on that pedestal and saying that he's taking steroids and all this other stuff to get to higher weights, I think it's a crock of bull. But my point is that, like I always tell you guys before, I don't care how much drugs you take. If he can't fight, he can't fight. Simple as that.
Okay, Melco Cell?
This whole thing, man, is just, as Dusty and Howard said, is a total stretch. Like you said, if you don't have the talent, man, I don't care if you juice up to Superman and Clark Kent both, all right? If you can't rumble, man, you're going to get your ass kicked. I don't care how much juice you use. But addressing the steroid era, I mean, you're talking about the guy from Balco and company. The people like that are trying to beat the test every day, guys. They're trying to blood doping and this and that and all that. But then again, I'm with Dusty and Harold in the sense that, hey, you can have rumor and innuendo from now to next year. Show me the proof. Put some facts in front of my – I don't care if the guy went up 50 weight classes. Show it to me. Prove it to me.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to say here, I'm trying to get to it. How, if you can fight, you can fight. But if everybody's taking it, I don't see where Manny Pacquiao is not taking it. Okay? If that's what everybody else is doing, what's going to make him the one guy that's not doing it? Especially in wake of the fact now that we got allegations that Mayweather is also in the stretch. Dusty has always said, who is Mayweather to say such and such? The bottom line, two is always four, no matter who says it. And I think that somewhere on the line that Pacquiao has. And you know, for $40 million, there's a great saying, you know, this day is never coming again. And 40 mil is 40 mil. And, you know, there's a lot of money to turn down. A lot of money to turn down, especially if all you got to do is take a test to prove that you're not doing what you say you're not doing. We're going to try to find out the score of this this football game in a couple of minutes. Cincinnati Sea Wings supposed to be getting in with me from Denver, but I guess he hasn't come back yet. So let me do a quick commercial. Hopefully he'll join us. Don't anybody move. Donnie Hathaway, Rooney, this is for you. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Study Hall, formerly Blog Talk Radio 101. Study Hall is an interactive question and answer session brought to you by Blog Talk Radio University to answer general host questions. It's geared to both new and veteran hosts. Join us live every Wednesday for question and answers, including visual demonstrations, or you can listen to the archives and get the past recordings. Once again, Study Hall, formerly Blog Talk Radio 101, every Wednesday, which is 2 days from now, right here on Blog Talk Radio, you and Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. The last we heard, the Chicago Bears, who would have been one of the elite teams in pro football, were getting bounced around by another one of the elite teams in pro football, the San Francisco 49ers, and the 49ers are looking very good tonight without their two first 1-2 quarterbacks. The Bears without Jay Cutler, and without Cutler, they don't seem to be the same football team. Some news in the world of basketball. As you know, the Nets have won 5 straight basketball games. The Knicks, after losing, broke that losing streak, and they are back on the winning track. Rutgers is going to go to the Big Ten next year. And Indiana, the number one college basketball team in the country, they won tonight 66-53. And Georgetown won 78-70. And the classic being played at the Barclays Center here in Brooklyn. So they're in the finals. But the number one basketball team, Indiana. Indiana. Okay, Indiana State, Larry Bird. So they are 66-53 winners right now, holding their number one spot this weekend. All ATLL broke loose, number one, number two lost. Notre Dame now is the number one collegiate football team in the country. Alabama is back in the picture. Texas A&M is in the wake. Big talk about their freshman quarterback being in the running for the Heisman Trophy. The Bears are playing tonight, and we can't talk about the Chicago Bears and not talk about three pertinent players in their great history. Cincinnati Sea Wings looking for him to get to us with some football stuff from Denver. But Mike Ditka, the rumor was he had a heart attack. And that was something that puzzled Dusty. He was a guy who had a heart attack, and he said heart attack again, but no, there was some heart complications, so he's all right. Mike Ditka proved to be one of the greatest tight ends in professional football. He's the first tight end to catch over 100 passes a year, the first tight end to gain over 1,000 yards a year, and as you know, he also became a great coach. Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl. Gale Sayers is the greatest running halfback in the history of football. In just seven seasons, Gale Sayers was the first ballot Hall of Famer. He scored six touchdowns in one game. And that was against the San Francisco 49ers. He ran in three. He ran back a punt and a touchdown. Gale Sayers' lifetime kickoff and punt return averages 31.1. So that means if Gale Sayers caught the ball in the end zone, he got it to the 30. If he caught the ball at the 20, when he stopped with the football, he was in your territory. Number 40, the Kansas Comet came out of Kansas, and the guy who supplanted him will have a documentary this Wednesday on ESPN, John Riggins. They call Gale Sayers the Kansas Comet, and Riggo got the same name. So two of the legendary football players, when they named the all-time backfield, in the first 35 years of pro football, Johnny Nice was the quarterback, number 19. Halfback was number 40, Gale Sayers. And the fullback was number 32, Jim Brown. I don't think anybody in today's game or anybody who ever played a game will supplant those three guys as those positions. Johnny U, number 19. Jim Brown, number 32. Gale Sayers, number 40. Brown was the leading rusher 8 of his 9 years in pro football, which is an amazing stat for a guy who was a fullback. And the 1 year he did lose, he ran 996 yards. Jim Taylor beat him out. So you had a nine-year period, nine straight years, where the leading rusher in the NFL was not a halfback, but it was none other than a fullback. Jim Brown set the way, and I just think that anybody be greater than Jim Brown. And as I said, that backfield, the all-time backfield, Johnny Unitas, number 19 at quarterback, Jim Brown, number 32 at fullback, and the Kansas Comet, Gale Sayers. And it's an amazing thing about Sayers, because Sayers only played 7 years, and he only played like about, I think, 40-something games, but he's picked the all-time halfback in the history of professional football. Gale Sayers wrote a book that I really love, too. God is first, my family and friends are second, I am third. And I think the Bears are on their route to next week, trying to not lose their third straight game. This is another big football game. They're losing to the 49ers. I think that game is, I'll find out for you in a few minutes. Gentlemen, we got some more boxing coming up. As we're talking about Pacquiao, we got the Pacquiao-Marquez fight. Dusty, I mean, what does Marquez have to do to finally win one?
Okay, Marquez has to take steroids.
He is.
But the fact of the matter is he is. Nonsense. Man, you want to blanket everybody to be the same.
You know what's funny is that when somebody doesn't know about steroids, they can make
that
remark.
That was my life. That was Harold Weston's life. And you calling us junkies.
I'm not calling you guys junkies.
Yes,
what are you doing?
No. But you're blanketing everybody who's been successful, especially Pacquiao. You have a vendetta against Pacquiao.
You don't know what's going on today,
on.
Man.
You don't tell me I don't know what's going on. You don't know either.
I do know.
What are you talking
about?
That's
the point. I'm educated in this kind of business, kid. I know what's going on with the steroid situation.
No, you're not,
dude.
Man. Come on.
Yes,
stop.
I do. Marquez
no,
is 39 years old, and
he has
a resurgence in his career. He looks better than ever. He's solid muscle all of a sudden. Come on, you don't question that.
Because the man is pumping iron.
Come on.
You know, when I was a kid, hold a second, he asked me first. When I was a kid, I couldn't punch my way out of a paper bag. How did I bulk up? By plunging and moving and using my father's sledgehammers. I bulked up where I began to knock out people.
But
so
Dusty,
now you're talking
you?
About
how
everybody's got to be on
how
steroids
old are you, Dusty?
Because they bulked up. Nonsense.
Dusty, how
Come
old
on.
Are you? How old are you, Dusty? You were 20. You're in your
20s. I'm 76 years of age.
No, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about back then. You were 20-something years old, right?
No, I was
you
not 27.
You was
you
not doing
me.
This at 30, close to 40 years old.
I'm 13. I was 13, 14 when I bulked up.
Exactly.
So what
you
are you talking
kid.
About?
You were a kid. These guys are nearly 40 years old, and they're looking
so
like
what?
A, like beasts.
They're pumping
come on.
Iron. Don't you understand that? They're pumping iron. The first
okay,
time I saw a fighter pumping
Dusty,
iron
Dusty,
was
Dusty.
Holyfield.
Dusty, do your homework, and then we could talk.
No, you do your homework. You don't know what you're talking about bulking up. Come on, get out of here.
I'm not kidding. It's true. You guys think that a guy that's on it is not powerful. You take a guy who's talented, and you can make him into a monster. Come on, those are the facts. I mean, look at Lance Armstrong wins 8 Tour de France's, huh?
What
happened? Look at Marion Jones. Look at Shane Mosley.
So what? Marion Jones. I'm telling you about the other sports.
Yo, when they accuse
you insulting
when
boxing.
When they accuse Shane Mosley of steroids, Shane Mosley said, "Oh, I never used steroids." Everybody believed him until he admitted it. Come on, you know what I mean? You just never know with these guys. You can't all of a sudden assume that the guy is not doing something when there's suspicion around him. Come on, there's suspicion for a reason. Look at Holyfield. Holyfield never tested positive, but that his name was linked to a steroid ring. He was
so
using an alias name to buy drugs. Come
that's
on.
Character assassination. How
come on,
would you
no,
like
it's, it? It's not character
Harold
assassination.
Weston, he knocked out
it's,
five guys in
fraud.
A row. He got to be on steroids. Oh,
it's
come
fraud.
On. Stop it.
You know what?
Respect the sport,
let's just
man.
Forget about this. Let's just forget about this because
no.
you can't have
respect
this conversation with me.
You don't open this
steroids.
Can of worms. You can't forget about it now. You don't open this can of worms, bro. Can't forget about it now.
Well, you know why? Because we'll be on,
I believe
that
most of these commissioners have blood and urine tests.
We'll be on this all night if you're going to come, because you're going to keep asking me, you're going to keep saying it, and I'm going to keep rebutting everything you say, because I know enough about this to talk about it. I wouldn't be talking adamant about this if I just thought it was some BS, you know,
yeah,
story. This is real. This is real.
Yeah, but
this situation is real.
But Dusty's saying, man, that you're painting with too broad a brush. He's saying, man, that back in the day, yes, a lot of guys were on the juice, but a lot of guys weren't. He's saying you're paying with
I'm
the
not,
water
I'm not
front,
talking about
man.
Back in the day.
Well, yeah,
I'm talking about right now.
Hold on, hold on. A good point
I'm
here.
I'm talking about
the,
right
the thing,
now.
Hold. The thing that is said here, and Dusty has been defensive about his era, is how, but the thing, if you're listening, he's not talking about back in the day. He's talking about today. So, I mean, you know, where
The point is well taken.
A guy that's 39 years old. I mean, I remember what Gary Sheffield said about Roger Clemens. He said, you know what, it's amazing that everybody talks about him and Barry and different guys on steroids. He said, but nobody ever questions Roger Clemens. You know, he said, it's amazing. You know, he's a guy in his late 30s, pitching like he was in his 20s. And the thing that happened with Roger was, you know, his trainer said he did it, and they said his trainer lied. Barry's trainer said he didn't do it, and they said his trainer lied. And I remember when the situation came up that it was sort of proven that Clemens was on it, that right away, I remember President Bush, they were already setting up a clemency panel to exonerate Clemens. And what happened, this thing backfired on them with Clemens being found innocent, but unfortunately, it didn't happen soon enough to help Barry Bonds. I mean, Barry Bonds got blackballed. Barry wanted one more year to get 3,000 base hits and add more to that home run total. But, you know, it didn't help Barry. But it's just amazing, and it's not amazing, how this was advantageous for Clemens and white America and not for none of the blackball players. That's all. But, I mean, to sit here and say that, you know, that these guys today who can't fight, these guys today who are weak-minded, these guys today who have no sense of history, Daryl Strawberry said something that was prevalent. He said, you know what? They didn't have steroids in my day, but if they had it, yeah, I think I would have used it. Now, anybody would have used something if they thought it was advantageous and not get caught. I mean, the great line that Bert Flowers said was, you know, if everybody's taking steroids in baseball, then who's guilty? I mean, because everybody's doing it. So, I mean, so, you know, it's sad and touches, Harold said, but if everybody's doing it, then who the hell is cheating?
What I'm trying to make you understand is that because everybody else is doing it in other sports, don't taint my sport.
No, boxing is already tainted, dude. It's corrupt.
You
see the corruption between the judging, between steroids, between it's a dirty sport in the beginning. Come on.
No, come on, nothing. You have dudes who sporadically were caught dirty. First, Ferocious Vargas. He admitted he's probably he got suspended. Lamont Peterson. But then you got two guys who tested positive, but they were taking legitimate medication.
Steroids. They failed the drug test three times.
Prescribed medication by the doctor, Berto and James Toney. And when
James Toney at one particular point was looking like a bodybuilder all of a sudden.
He was taking medication.
James Toney tested positive.
He was taking
James
Toney.
How many times was he busted? Two or three times. You're telling me that all three times was medication?
He was busted once.
No, he was busted. No, you want to go to Google? He was busted twice. He was busted twice.
He was not. He was.
Yes,
he was.
Was
busted because he
tested
positive.
Was busted with the John Lewis thing.
He was busted also after that too. He was busted for the Rockman fight. He was busted. Come on. He was busted twice, dude. And it wasn't two or three guys. You know what? You want to name the names of fighters that have been busted for steroids? Shane Mosley, you forgot about that. You didn't mention him. Fernando Vargas, huh? Roy Jones. You want me to go down the list? Huh? We just had a British heavyweight that just got banned from the sport because he was busted for steroids. Vitaly Klitschko tested positive as an amateur. You want me to keep going?
You know what we should do?
Since
you're a good investigator, why don't you find out if Barack Obama is really American so we can get that tested?
Harold, if you see what's going on today, look at the Olympics, look at football, look at a lot of sports where these guys have to use brute strength. They're bigger, they're stronger, and they're faster than they were in the past. And it's not because now they got science on their side. Yeah, they got science. They got drugs, scientific ways of enhancing themselves today, dude. And I know this for a fact. You understand? Yo, put it this way. Marquez, right, when he fought Pacquiao, everybody thought he was going to lose against Pacquiao, right? He hires this guy to help him for strength and conditioning against Pacquiao. Guess what? The guy was a former steroid distributor. He was an informant in the Balco case against Victor Conte. You understand what I'm saying? And what happens? He comes in his fight. Not only does he come in, because he couldn't even put on a weight against Floyd Mayweather, but he comes in bigger and more muscular than Pacquiao does. But there's no, that's actually Flintstone vitamins, right? Come on.
I was writing you guys material tonight. All you guys got, I got Howard knocking it out.
Watch this documentary. It's called Bigger, Stronger, Faster, and you will have a different mentality. This is a documentary that actually educates you on the whole steroid epidemic today and how sophisticated these guys are today. They could beat any drug test, and they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster than they were in the past because of what they're doing. Just look at the past. Just look at the sports of the past. Look at boxing in the past and look at it now. You look at some of these guys.
Look at it now. Look how terrible it is. You're right.
it is terrible, but you have these guys that are so terrible that they're looking for any way to get a win. They at all costs. So they'll take drugs just to do it.
I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, you got guys loading up gloves. You got guys putting things on gloves to get a guy in the ring.
What you were telling me, and what Dusty is telling me, and you guys are being really defensive, but what you're telling me is there was a respect for your body, and there was a sense of credibility and respect for the game and your opponent, Harold and Dusty.
It was a man's game. I mean, we knew that two men was going in there. Oh, yeah, some guys would try to get a little edge on weight. a weight situation. But, you know, these guys, they knew that this was a sport about two men battling each other. We know that we're already going in there to try to kill each other. But at the same time, do we need to add on a little bit of something where guys are spicing up their gloves and putting brass knuckles? I mean, we saw those things happen, but we took those things out of the situation so two men can battle this fairly. And that's what the sport is based on. I think that a whole lot of things in today's crime, like I said, this generation today is wiped out because this generation has no idea to stand up and do anything righteous and know how to be strong about it because their mental attitude is not strong enough to deal with real face-to-face combat in any kind of situation. So what they do, they find ways to cheat, and that's all they're doing. But they think they're gaining anything out of it. No, they're not gaining nothing at all. And it's not going to make them no more of a man in a situation or a woman.
In fact, it makes them a
coward or anything else, and that's the bottom line to it all.
Hey, Harold, look at how different it is today. Louis Resto gets caught with hand wraps. I mean, not his hand wrap, but his glove being tainted. What happened? He gets banned for life. Margarito they find out he has plaster Paris. What happened? He gets suspended for a year.
Yeah,
you
know that was ridiculous.
It just comes
shot.
To show you, these. Yeah. Put it this way. It just comes to show you that these guys, what's going on with boxing today is that these guys figured out, you know what, the drug testing is not that great. You know, they see there's so many loopholes there that they'll take the chance. They'll take the chance just because there are so many loopholes. And the Margarito situation
weak
just showed
need it. Commissions. Weak need commissions.
Oh, we've been
are
saying,
you hearing me, Dustin?
They've been saying that. They've been saying that for years.
Yeah, I heard
they've
you.
They've been saying that for years. But to say that no fighter or any fighter is totally clean, especially in the elite level where he's doing things that are extraordinary all of a sudden, it's preposterous. You can't really just say that without knowing for sure.
I'm going to give you one fighter that's clean. He was the best fighter out there, Bernard Hopkins.
You think he's clean?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, even though you have a laundry list of guys that you can mention, Cisco, and, you know, I don't doubt what you said. You do have a pretty long list of guys. But by the same token, I'm with Harold and Dustin in the sense that because you got 5, 10, 15, 20 guys, which seems like a lot percentage-wise, can't indict the entire sport of guys who
I'm not
who
indicting
regular
the
work,
entire sport.
Who are regular workmen?
Five or fifteen guys today is 5 or 15 more guys than there was 30 years ago. In Harold's era, there wasn't anybody. 5, 15 guys today. That's when you do one guy. That's 100% more than what you had 20, 30 years ago. You do 15. That's a hell of a large number. I mean, wouldn't you know, I think the biggest thing that everybody has concluded here is that the guys yesteryear didn't do it. There was a sense of respect and credibility to yourself and to the game. But at the same time, Francisco has proven that we're dealing in a drug society now. I remember
what happened with Roy Jones. Roy Jones tested positive. What they did, they swept it under the covers. Actually, they threatened to sue the person that brought it, that put it out there. You understand what I'm saying? And they didn't sue because that person was right. The news,
Roy,
was actually true.
I can understand Roy because Roy needed help because he ain't never had no chin anyway. So that was the whole thing about it.
Yeah, but this is before he got knocked the hell out.
I never thought much of Roy Jones anyway as a fighter. But the fact is that he needed help. I mean, you know, he got away with it. And that, you know, that doesn't surprise me about Roy Jones.
You know what fighters do today? You know what athletes, I'm not talking about just fighters, but even in MMA, these guys now claim to have low testosterone level. So they go to a doctor, and a doctor puts them on testosterone replacement therapy. And what is that? Steroids. And you know why their testosterone level is low? Because they use it in the first place. And you know what it does to you? It shrinks your testicles. You get
a lot of things, but that goes all the way back to the days
and what happens
Shamrock
is they go to a doctor and they say
and chemo and all those guys.
Huh?
I mean that goes way back. Well, I'm trying to say this is nothing new. I mean all they're trying to do
is nothing new, but it's more prevalent today. It's more.
Well, it is, but I'm trying to say
it's more widespread.
This goes back to when the West German women in the swimming team had bigger muscles than you guys back in the '60s. Okay. I mean, you know,
well,
this is a long process that's been going on.
The Russians were the first ones to have steroids.
We got our hands on steroids
because a Russian doctor got drunk and accidentally gave the formula to an American doctor. The next thing you know, we started creating steroids. You understand what I'm saying? That's how the history of steroids got traced over to America. You understand?
You're right, Cisco. But, I mean, this goes back to, like you said, the way back when the Russians in the 60s and Vasily Alexia was breaking all the heavyweight weightlifting records.
Hey, but you see that today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doc Stanley, on the Trust in God Radio Network, we told you what was happening in the world. Well, you got education here on steroids. One more time, the Jets will be playing the New England Patriots this Thursday. They will be the dressing, they'll either be the stuffing, or maybe they'll turn around and off this big win on Sunday, catching the Patriots, who also played on Sunday, and running roughside over the Colts. The Jets defense, as people forget, they only gave up 13 points on Sunday. And Joukowsky, the big tight end who's part of that double tight end that Tom Brady uses so well, he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks, going to be operated on. It looks like that his season may be really over, 4 to 6 weeks, and that just could be easily the end for him. Depends what happens. Michael Vick was out this Sunday, and the Eagles right now look like they're out. Andy Reid can't be too far from being removed and out, as the Eagles now are 3-7, and for all intents and purposes, they are DEAD. Surprising, the Cowboys have won 2 football games in a row, and they're only 1 game behind the New York Giants, who play the Green Bay Packers on Sunday.
And the Giants better start playing like that too, Doc, because they're still resting on their laurels. They're going to wind up not winning this division. They haven't played a decent game since San Francisco.
But you know what's working for them? Because you said, first of all, the Eagles are gone. The Eagles are dead. Okay, this game here is a game against a non-division foe. But, you know, what I'm worried, I think the sleeper here, what people aren't paying attention to, is RG3 and the Washington Redskins, who beat the Eagles, which was one a big win and also a division game. And, you know, the Cowboys the Redskins, as much as the Eagles are out, the Redskins are back in the thick of the picture here, Rooney.
Well, you know something, Doc? I got to tell you, and I know it's very, very early in his career, but, you know, if RG3 doesn't have, like, you know, football is hard, always hard to say this, but if he doesn't have, like, major injury, I mean, broken legs, things like that, this guy has the potential for greatness, Doc. He has world-class speed running the football.
You like it, don't you, Rudy?
He can blow the ball 50 yards on the fly.
RG3
has the potential for greatness, Doc.
You like him big, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
You know,
I like the way, you know, he has leadership qualities, Doc. He has command. He has command. He's the type of guy who can make people around him better.
That was the thing that Phil Simms said about Eli. And you look at it, here's a guy who's won 2 Super Bowls. Here's a guy who's been the MVP of Super Bowls. But Phil Simms said that Eli Manning, Rooney, is not an elite quarterback.
I heard that statement from Phil, Doc. I think he's just trying to tweak Eli a little bit, because when he's at his best, the guy's a money quarterback, Doc. He's a money quarterback. He can bring you back. Eli's the type of guy, when at his best, he can carry a ball club when he's at his best.
Mm-hmm. So now, why is he not at his best? Exactly.
Lately, he has not been at his best. He's been flinching. He's been becoming.
Wasn't it Dusty? Is it the tied arm that they're talking about, or is he not that good?
He's in between. That he could have developed more, but he's becoming gun shy, afraid of being hit. Throwing into double coverage, throwing Hail Marys where he should not have. Instead of, like I always said, football is eating the ground for that first down and keeping the running alive until you get to the red zone and getting into the red zone and scoring. The worst you can do when you get into the red zone, the worst you can do is a field goal. But you got to go for that touchdown. But lately he has been gun shy. I mean, I see him throw sporadically, just as he sees those animals coming at him. He throws just to not get hit. This is not a quality quarterback. Your quality quarterback is You see, an Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or even Tom Brady, knowing that they're going to get hit, but they still release the ball in time, even if they get hit, and get the receiver. Eli Manning is not doing that. His brother, with his three operations, you should see him. As they're rushing in, he finds his receiver or secondary and flips the ball. And he gets hit, he gets knocked down, but he's accurate. Eli Manning is not doing that. So I don't know what the problem is. I think it's all mental. He himself admitted three or four times in interviews, well, it's my fault, I'm not playing right. So somebody got to talk to the dude.
You got to get him some steroids.
Yeah, sure. He got a, you guys are cracking me up. Yeah.
The other possibility is you know, could he be hurt? And you know, the thing with him too, you know, we talk so much, Doc Stanley Sports and Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, we talk so much about the reluctance of the Jets to bring in their second string quarterback. What about the Giants, Rooney?
No, Doc, no. Eli Manning, unless he has some type of major injury, he's not coming off the field, Doc. No, no, no. But I have to say, you have to remember, Doc, that traditionally, at least over the past two or three years, the Giants as a team played lousy in November to begin with. I mean, just look at their record. Traditionally, they played lousy in November. They seem to hit some kind of wall in November, played lousy. Because you have to remember, when they won the Super Bowl last year, there was one point when they were, what 8-8, 9-7, something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at one point they were playing very, very mediocre ball. They went on that late run come
exactly.
playoff time.
Yeah,
nobody thinks they're going to make the Super Bowl, really. Nobody thinks they're going to even win that.
They seem to gel together towards the end of the season. And then you forget that they are a vicious road team. So I don't know why they have to do that and frustrating everybody at the beginning of the season. But I mean, it's a funny phenomenon that they seem to gel. But they now better start winning. They got Green Bay this week, I think it is. It's not going to be an easy task. Now, if Eli Manning is on a doldrum and he's still gun shy. He better get his act together because it's crunch time. This is like half of the season already. Now when things begin to gel and things begin to count, a loss is going to bury you, you know. But amazingly, the Cowboys are in the run and they're a 50% team, 5-5. So I don't know who does the math, but it's a crazy thing. But again, my thing is that Eli Manning better get his act together because he's not playing the way the people make him out to be as an elite quarterback. To me, he's never been, but he's been tenacious at many a times. But now in the last two or three games, he's been lousy.
I think the bye will do them good, Doug. I think the bye will do them good. I think the bye would have done them good this week. I really do.
Right.
You know, a little bit of time to reflect. You know, hear a little some injuries. Because Dustin and panel, I believe Eli has the.
Geez, that was the radio.
I believe he's had more come from behind victories than any quarterback in the league.
That's true. Well, he's half and half because I look at not so much come from behind, but I look at being ahead, like with the Cowboys being ahead 23-0 and then almost blow the game. You know, and that to me is the troublesome thing. You know,
Pass rush. Like I say, traditionally the Giants play lousy in November. What happened? I mean, the only name I ever hear anytime anymore is about my guy Jason Pierre-Paul. Where's Tuck? Where's your menorah? Where's everybody else?
Well, they're there, but they're not performing the way. Last week when they played the Bengals, here you got, was it Webster or Roll? The first two touchdowns by the Bengals, within the first 5 minutes. And in the second touchdown, I think it was Webster. He stopped chasing a guy, went back in, they looked around for help. And the guy, he could have been sitting there on the ground in a rocking chair, had a couple of Coronas, and nobody was going to touch him. I said, Jesus Christ, what's going on here? Where is the coverage? Broken plays, broken coverage. You know, and are these guys asleep? So this is what I'm saying. They're playing stupid games, but then Eli himself, who's the general, supposed to be the general, is not playing up to what they make him out to be. So, you know, I really don't know.
And not only that, Dust, but our defenses have decided that they're not going to let them again. My man with the salsa dancing, Dust, the receiver with the...
He has a bullseye on his back. I mean,
the defense decided they're not going to let him beat them. They're not going to let them double him. But they decided that they're not going to let him
Victor
beat
Cruz.
Them.
Yeah.
They're not going to let Victor Cruz beat him now.
Yeah. On two games, the man was mugged, man. They had to take him out for a play or a down because they're going to hurt him. And he said, you know, I think I'm being targeted. He admitted at a press conference, I'm being targeted so I don't dance salsa in the end zone.
Defense have decided they're not going to let Victor Cruz beat him, Doug.
Yeah.
They're going to take him out of the game.
Yeah, take him out of the game by hurting him.
The key to that is Hakeem. If he can stay healthy, but the point is Hakeem plays two games and misses three. If he can stay healthy, then they can't double or zone out. Because you see what happened in that game against the Redskins. My man, Cruz just ran past everybody. Because Hicks was having such outstanding game. You couldn't double. They tried to play a zone on Cruz, and Cruz just ran right through everybody and got the touchdown. So the key to their success is for all the ends to be healthy. But, you know, Hakeem... You know, he has these two or three great games for you. Then he's on the sideline for two or two. And that's kind of odd, really, that an end is so injury-prone. You would think a running back, you would think a lineman. But even a tight end, but for an end to be so injury-prone, I think that's something to watch. You know, I got two. You talk so much about Jerry Reese, and we have to talk a little bit about him in a minute, too. But that's just, well, I mean, this is a good, big football game. The Giants...
The Giants have Bennett too, the ex-Dallas Cowboy. Bennett is a good tight end.
But you know what? I would think they have to start going to him a little
exactly.
more often too.
Because he's bigger than all the other dudes.
But you know the key to them too, Dusty, is that you know, they gave Bradshaw all this money and they said they weren't going to miss Brandon Jacobs. I think right now they're kind of missing Brandon Jacobs. I don't think so.
This guy Brown, who's the backup.
Yeah, Brown's been good, but I think Jacobs, with his reputation and his ability, you know, he's the all-time leading rusher as far as rushing touchdowns in Giants history. I just think right about now he could have been the difference in one or two of those past games. I mean, the Steelers game was a tremendous game, but for them to go to Cincinnati and get beat 31-13, that was just – usually the Giants are a great road team. They're a great team. In a game that they have to win on the road, they seem more. I mean, I don't want to put this on Coach Coughlin, you know, but he said a great line. He said, you know, coaches lose games, they don't win them. But to lose, to not even be in that football game is what stunned me. And what I'm just saying, I just think at this point in juncture that the Giants have to look at a very good backup quarterback for Eli on games that he's not doing it. And they don't have. A legitimate. I mean, the old days, you had the backup quarterback used to be a starting quarterback who was getting a little older. Babe really was the backup quarterback for Joe Namath. Before Tom Brady became the number one quarterback, he had Drew Bledsoe who became the backup quarterback.
Exactly.
But you always had an outstanding backup quarterback. I mean, can we ever forget Blander? Man, George Blander was the backup quarterback for John LaMonica, for everybody out there. But you always had an outstanding backup quarterback. You could say,
but Doc,
Dusty,
who's Eli Manning's backup? I don't know.
Hey, Dusty, hey, ask Rooney. I don't know either. Yeah, that's a good
question. The guy's won two Super Bowls. They're not taking this guy out any. The guy's won two Super Bowls.
I'm not taking this guy out any game. Somebody on that day when he doesn't have it. I mean, can we remember 3 or 4 years ago? You know, it wasn't until Eli had that Super Bowl that we started calling him elite quarterback. And
exactly.
I've said this, you know, that was a lucky catch, and the end made that catch. What do you mean?
He was on steroids when he threw the ball. That's all.
Hold on, wait a minute. I got some people here. Hold on. Who we got? Okay, who's just joining us?
Hey, how's it going today, guys? This is Fran Orlowski. I'm calling in from Leonia, New Jersey. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing, Fran? Talk to us.
Just a quick question. What's your show about today? It's about sports, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a die-hard Milwaukee Bucks fan.
Oh, the Bucks. Okay.
I'm a huge Brandon Jennings, Monte Ellis fan. But anyway, quick story. One time I was out on a dinner party on a cruise around the city of Milwaukee, beautiful city. And, there was a bunch of publicists there, Brandon Jennings, the publicist. And I took her to one of the rooms. I took a shit on her face. Niggers! I took a shit on the face of Brandon Jennings' wife.
He's hey!
Niggers!
What happened? A party over there or something?
Okay, and
say it again.
That sounds like
where's
a
the other
call
coming from?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, what the hell was that? I mean, I just, my ears are bleeding. I mean, I hear this man screaming on the other end and talking about defecating on a woman. What happened, sir?
Yeah, really? Where does how this guy get our number?
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I wanted to talk a little bit of sports. I'm not actually a huge NBA fan. I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan. I've been a New Jersey Nets fan for over 35 years, ever since we started playing in the Teaneck Armory in New Jersey. And
wow.
The best thing about it is that, I have been following the team to Brooklyn. I was very, very much debating whether or not I wanted to continue this team to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys feel about the direction of the team so far this year?
Well, they won 5 straight games. they're playing some good basketball. I think coming to Brooklyn is going to be energized, and I think a lot of
the fans.
I think a lot of the fans are really happy about them having more so in a metropolitan type area. You know, Jersey was such a long streak.
It was definitely a strenuous time for us because of the fact that we had to go through several different arenas. And it was very difficult because you had to go from, the ABA transition to the NBA transition. And I've been watching basketball for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
especially because of the fact that that whole ABA to NBA kind of, I don't even want to get started on how the Knicks stole Dr. J from us. But let's just leave that alone. They stole Dr. J from us because we had to pay $3 million to them.
Like, I'm going to tell you a story about that. You
it's
know
like
what?
Bo needed the money.
Well, the sad thing about that was that Julius... Doc Stanley Sports and Death on the Tuscan Guard. Julius went to Bo and he told Bo, look, he says, I want to go with the team into the league. So a contract.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Give me your word that I'll take the new contract. I'll sign the contract now. Play out the rest of the year in the old contract. Bo said he couldn't do it. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. Give me a handshake that you consider. Give me a new contract. Bo said he couldn't do it. Bo wouldn't do it. Okay, and then what happened was Bo went to Mike Burke and told Burke, look, you know what? This is what we'll do. I'll give you Julius and, indemnity, the $1 million indemnity, and you can have Julius. And Burke said no.
Nigger.
I asked Burke. I said, is that true? And he said, yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it would have been fair to the New York Net fans. And I'm saying, are you crazy? I mean, I remember when they traded Julius to the 76ers. I was in the locker room. And I remember they asked Walt Frazier.
People give a shit.
What do you think now that the Sixers have Julius Erving?
Oh,
he
my
said,
fucking God. Shut the fuck up already, you dumb nigga. Go get
said,
fucking whipped, you
yeah,
slave.
Yeah, you still got
he
those
said,
guy in the line, man. Still got those guy in the line, man. Cut him
yeah,
out.
We,
yeah,
we got
him.
You're a little
kind of a fan. You have the long
cut him out, man. Cut
line.
Him out, man.
Yeah, we cut him out. He's gone. But I remember he had said that, that with Julius Erving on that team, that he said a great line. Has any team ever went 81-82-0? And it was just the Tony Archibald had told me that when they traded Julius, it was more than just trading a great basketball player, but they had traded the heart and soul of the team. Julius was like a father to those guys. It was amazing. Here's a guy who was younger than everybody else, but he was the glue to that team, not only as a basketball player, but as a person. I remember us going to birthday parties that he'd had for Cheo or for Jay, and the whole team would be there. You know, they were family. And the thing that was so, it was part of the whole ABA mindset. The ABA was like the Three Musketeers, one for all and all for one. And they were just a family as a league and a family as a team. And Julius bent over backwards not to go. I mean, he was going to take less money. He was going to take deferred money. You know, Bo, the sad thing about Bo, too, Bo had promised Rick Barry I remember the late, great Hal Jackson told me that, you know, he told Rick Barry he'd give me anything he wanted. And he was Julius. I'll never forget. It's the ABA championship game, and Bo turns to Turco Sherman and says, "How you doing, Violet?" And I go, "Turco," I said, "Violet?" Yeah, he says, "Melvin, he always calls me Violet." I said, "Wait a minute, this is your star player's wife. This is the best player, not only in your league, but in basketball. He's been with your team for 3 years, and you're still calling his wife Violet?" So, you know, Bo kind of didn't see things the way they should have been. And like I said, it's that old situation. I mean, he was going to give the world to Rick Barry and didn't think too much of Julius Erving. And Erving had brought him 2 ABA championships. And like at that time, Julius Erving was the best basketball player in the world. Dr. Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust and God Radio Network. We want to apologize for those callers that came in. You know, we accept all calls here. But sometimes, you know, you just can't screen. And sometimes you just can't kind of evaluate what you're going to get here. So we want to apologize for those calls. And the gentleman did call in the N-word. You know, that doesn't have its place here. And I'll just simply say this. We got a bomber for another 4. Just a minute, gang. We'll be right back as Donny Hathaway takes us into a small break. Mr. Hathaway. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network, and we'll be right back. You know, it's always amazing how, you know, the people, so-called, Ali said, of the complexity of connection can just figure they can do and say anything, and it just really shows their inferiority, their stupidity, and why it's just always, in the words of the great Hal Weston, sad and touching. That they never,
that's your fan club.
Dusty, I'm not taking that one, baby. I'm not taking that one. I will say there's a good chance they're on steroids, but they're not part of the fan club. I think we can. Hey, you know, that, Rooney, you were talking
that's
about stuff here, too. You know, the NFL rookie class is close to setting some, rewrite some league records. And they were talking about a host of things here, some records that are in jeopardy. There are some rookie records. I think Luck has already surpassed Cam Newton's last year rookie record, but he's on target for the completion record. He has 208 now, and Sam Bradford back in 2010, the rookie record is 354. So they're predicting Luck to throw 369 to break that record. Also, passing yards. He's on projection to pass the 4,051 that Cam Newton had last year. They're looking for him to do like almost 4,677 passing attempts. Once again, Bradford had 590. He's already got 362, and they're looking for him to do 643. And passing touchdown, Russell Wilson of Seattle is en route to breaking, boy, what a name, Peyton Manning's 26. He's got 15 already. Peyton had 24, so they're looking for him to do 26. And for yards from scrimmage, total yards, Doug Martin right now has 1,158. And total yards, they're looking for him to break the great Eric Dickerson, who had 2,212. And right now he's projected to break. No, Dickerson had 2,058. He's looking to break the 2,200. a total. They're looking for 2,200. Eric Dickerson, Rooney, there was a guy. We're talking about blackball. There was a guy who was blackballed out of pro football. He was just a great, great state of the art. He was the guy that came in with the goggles. A great, great running back. If they don't blackball him, don't blackball him, he's the guy with the all-time rushing record, Rooney.
Yeah. Didn't he wind up with, like, the Cowboys or something, Doc? Way back in the day?
No, you know what happened? He started with the Colts.
He stayed with the Rams, didn't he?
And Dusty, he ended up with the Rams. Ended up with the Rams. Sure did.
Yeah.
And the Rams, and then they blacked. Number 29.
Wasn't he on, like, two or three teams, Doc, during his NFL career?
No, he did the Colts first, and then he ended up with the Rams. I think the Colts didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay him. And in fact, he was the guy to the first guy to do the 2000. No. Juice was the first guy to 2000. He's the first guy to do 2000. Then he did it. He broke Juice's record, and then Herschel Walker did the 2000 in USFL, and then he came into the NFL. But number 29, great running back, good little guy, a great runner. He was doing some television work too for a while, but you don't hear too much more.
Yeah,
you don't hear too much about him more anymore. But the great Eric Dickerson, number 29, from the started out with the Colts. The Colts had some good head. I remember they had Burt Jones as the quarterback. Okay, gentlemen, we're probably going to wrap it, but okay, what do we see in the crystal ball here? We still got Cisco. We still got Cincinnati C is still looking to get to us. He's having some problems up there in the booth. We got the Dusty. Okay, is there any way, shape, or form, Rooney, that the Jets can win this game on Thursday?
They can win it. Excuse me. Pardon me, the doctor. Yeah, they can win it, but I don't know what it means. I mean,
if they win it, they're 5-6,
they're in contention.
And,
I mean,
right. They're 5-6. It's a division game. It's against New England, and they're 1-1 on the season. And you're talking about resting now from Thursday to the next Sunday. I got to see how the schedule looks. I mean, they're still smart, though, the fact that they should have won the other game that took them overtime. If they win that game, instead of, they're 4-6, they're 5-5.
Doc, but I just can't do the if and but thing with the Jet, Doc. I have zero confidence. And I have zero confidence in the New York Jets.
Bring back Schottenheimer and the Turnstile?
I have been sorely disappointed with Sparano.
I have no offensive
imagination whatsoever.
You got to understand something here, that the Jets now, because of this good taste of victory, and some of the guys that I never even knew were on the team, this guy that caught the touchdown that fell flat on his back, I don't know where he came from. That's a good receiver. And Sanchez, I saw some good things of the rookie time Sanchez in this Sunday's game. Maybe that speech that Woody Johnson had with his staff may have been the
springboard, the foundation, the interjection that they needed.
Right. It could have been. It could be the injection. Now, the fact of the matter is that you got to be realistic. If the Patriots can take the Colts down deep waters and score 52 points, Jesus Christ, what are they going to do with the Jets? Now, the Jets got to play. No, not really. The Jets got to play on an upper scale that they played this past Sunday. And maybe, if they lose, but they lose by a field goal, at least it's a feel-good loss. But if they lose, blanked out, shut out, 45-0, well, then they're back to
I believe this game, the New England scored, I think their special team scored a lot of points, and their defense put a lot of points on the board. Am I right, Rooney?
Right. Interceptions.
And their defense is like 26 or 27 against the pass. They just lost a big offensive weapon in Gronkowski. So, and like I said, and they're coming into New York Jets. Cisco, Jets got a chance here, what?
I don't talk football with me, man. I'm a boxing MMA guy, man. I'll give you the wrong answer.
Hey, it's just so. You're a boxing MMA guy, but our former football linebacker, Seth Mayhem Mitchell, didn't fare too well this weekend, did he?
I know.
Well, what's his name?
You know,
he didn't have a helmet.
Have a chance. If they play well. And Sanchez gets to his receivers, like I said, eat up the turf. Don't even bring Tebow in there. Keep him sitting down, handing out the towels or water.
Oh, you know, and where they use Tebow is a disgrace. You know, it's like being Dr. Frankenstein, having your own parts for your own Frankenstein monster, and putting the elbow where the nose belongs, and putting the nose where the kneecap belongs. I mean, Sperano has absolute. Do you know something? When they bring Tebow in, Dusty and Panel, they draw off their own timing.
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, how many times have they had to take a timeout?
Let's go back to you and Cisco were talking about what's the gentleman y'all just speaking about?
Mayhem Mitchell.
Okay, talk about that some more, would you?
Well,
the guy's a converted college football linebacker who had multiple knee surgeries, which basically ruined his college career, you know, as a football player.
And he wanted to go into boxing.
Cisco, I believe, at the late age of, 25 years old, which is like 1,000 in boxing years. Turned basically about a few days before his 25th birthday, went into the gym and turned, you know, pro at like 25, if you can believe it or not. Yeah, not 25 years of age, you know, because obviously his football career had been over because of the multiple, guy had like 4 or 5 knee surgeries.
The truth is that there has been no football player that's tried to become a boxer has been successful. It just doesn't. You know, you just can't go from one sport to another. Would you say that
Ed 2 Toe Jones had some microscopic success?
Oh, my God.
Oh, he got beat up by a
19-year-old,
didn't he? I mean,
what a disaster.
You know the funny thing about Toe Jones?
Where did you get that from, Doc?
Yeah, no, from Dallas Cowboys. You know what
was
funny
about the funny thing is we're so desperate to find the next great American heavyweight that we're going into football, and maybe we'll try to get somebody from basketball or look under a rock and dig up somebody from, you know, maybe we could dig up Joe Lewis from the grave, maybe.
Cisco, you know that traditionally football players can't fight. I mean, traditionally football players can't fight.
But wait a second. The thing is that these guys go into a sport and spend their most of their lives playing a sport that has nothing that – the mechanics is totally different. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And then you try to turn that around
into something else.
You left the sport to go into another one, and especially a hard sport like boxing where it's all about reflexes. It's all about, you know, being defensive and having punching power and speed
and et cetera.
And right. There's no teammate helping you out or nothing. You're there by yourself with another dude, mano a mano.
As you guys keep saying, in today's market, there's nobody to even remotely teach you the game.
Exactly.
So then you have guys who they're going to probably team up with who has no business being a trainer.
Dumb and dumber,
but he's gonna,
blind
exactly,
leading the blind.
The blind leading the blind. And that's what's happening with boxing anyway, is that the blind is leading the blind, and you're hoping that your racehorse has enough talent to get you a world title and maybe some fame. But
and the funny thing about Too Tall Jones, if you remember the history, that when he, I think he had 6 or 7 fights, got knocked out 2 or 3 times.
I saw a lot of them.
He went back to the Dallas Cowboys, and he became a faster, stronger, speedier linebacker. Boxing improved his reflexes for football, but he was a failure at boxing.
Maybe he got better footwork.
Yeah, he got better footwork.
He did. He actually did, though.
Exactly.
That's what made Seth Mitchell a disaster, because the man they were talking about, well, he had knocked out 10 straight guys. But who
the
hell did
he? The truth is this. He just can't fight. The truth is this. You cannot take a boxer, just like you can't take a football player and put him in boxing and he won't succeed. You can't take a boxer and put him in football and he'll be successful. Just, you know,
let me talk about my sport now, okay, Cisco and Dustin, Doc. Football players are better done when their careers are over or they have these traumatic knee injuries. They actually are better going into my sport, which is professional wrestling
than professional boxing. Hold on, Rooney, hold on. And now we're going to go, introduction to Rooney's, but hold on, Rooney, hold on. And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from the WWF, he's no longer Malcolm Del Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Little Coco. It's yours, Little Coco.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The only successful heavyweight that became a successful football player that became a successful heavyweight was, oh my God, was it Clyde Williams?
What happened to Little Coco?
I'm here, but I figured something's going to cut me off. I figured
Clyde Williams.
Get
your history right, Dusty. Get it right, Dusty.
No, there was a guy named, was it Clyde Williams? Or I forgot the guy's name. Tall. He fought Muhammad Ali. He's the guy that got shot by a state trooper.
Yeah, it wasn't, but he wasn't.
Oh, are you talking about Cleveland Big Cat Williams?
You're talking about
Cleveland.
Cleveland Williams.
He used to be a wrestler, Dusty?
He was a football player. He was a football player.
For what team?
He was I don't know.
He said he was a boxer, Doc, not a wrestler, a boxer.
When he fought Ali,
he was pretty much the gunshot that he took. He was, you know, for a shell of himself, pretty much.
Really?
You know
And you know what? And they said that
Cleveland
night.
Williams.
Yeah, I
Cleveland
talking,
Williams. And
Cleveland. Ho. Cleveland Big Cat Williams.
And I
heard that night. That's supposed to have been. Ray Robinson said the night that he had it all, that is best. And Art Rush, and I spoke to Susie Russ earlier today. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, too. We're going to be doing a Thanksgiving show, too. And Ray Robinson, the best night he ever was, before the guy named Steve Bellois. He was a pencil thin heavyweight, a welterweight, Art said. Knocked out Steve Bellois August 24th, 1949, in the seventh round. And it is said Ali, he named his top three fights. The best he ever was with everything working was that night against Cleveland Big Cat Williams and the Houston Nationals. That's what Art Russ said, too. And that was a good. Okay, one more time. Here we go. Here you go, Rooney. Ladies and gentlemen, no longer Malcolm Del Smith. Back to WWF Legends and Stories. Ladies and gentlemen, Little Coco. You got it, Rooney. Come look up.
Doc, I got to tell you this quick story to the panel. I think you guys will find it interesting, and it's absolutely true.
We will. Tell it to
you. You know, Doc, you're talking about guys who, you know, came off the football field, went into boxing and wrestling. The most famous guy at the moment would probably be Dwayne Johnson, known as The Rock, whose father, Rocky Johnson, obviously was a wrestler, as Dusty probably knows, and, you know, the late Chief Peter Maivia, you know, they're Samoan. And, you know, Samoan, African-American. And The Rock used to play for the University of Miami. And he was good, but he didn't get drafted in the NFL. The last year, instead of redshirting, he had a knee injury and tried to play with it. Didn't get drafted. Okay,
Hold on, Rooney. Ladies and gentlemen. Mic on, lights up segment. We're going to close out, and then you're going to hear Rooney with his story. A different closing tonight. Leave you three thoughts. Live your life today as you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the room you pay for your space on earth. I simply say, trust in God. Rooney, hold on 4 minutes. Michael, Marvin Gaye is going to close us out, and then it's going to be Rooney.
I just want to ask a question.
Story for W.
Who really cares? Save a world. In despair, who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow,
flowers won't grow.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares?
We really care, and we close with Marvin Gaye. Mic on, lights off segment now, and for the next 15 minutes or so, you're going to hear us with the mic on, lights still, lights off, mics still on, and Rooney will hold the floor. Rooney, give us those WWF stories. We are watering at the mouth.
The current a movie star and part-time WWE wrestler, formerly the WWF, is now World Wrestling and World Wrestling Entertainment, has been for quite some time. I was a football player at the University of Miami. Hurt his knee in his senior year. Instead of redshirting and sitting it out, decided to try to play with it. Had a subpar year, didn't get drafted. Wound up playing in the CFL in Canada. Now, this is the funny part of this story, panel. Played in the CFL where they didn't make nearly the money that NFL pros made, you know, back then. They only made, like, believe it or not, the guy was making, like, $200 a week as an NFL, I'm sorry, as a CFL pro football player. The guy was making, like, $200 a week and rooming with, like, three guys on the team. Make the story a little bit short. The guy said he was barely eating because part of that $200 is sending to the woman that would become his wife, Danny, and she was living all the way in Florida, while this guy, well, he was staying in Canada. So he said the only way that he was able to eat was, he said, on team meeting days on Saturdays, they'd have these huge party heroes, these big six-foot heroes. He said what he would do is he'd go, even though he was hurt now, he said he'd go to the team meeting, cut the heroes in like three pieces, eat one piece for breakfast, one piece for lunch, one piece for dinner, and that's how he survived for like almost 2 years in the CFL. He said that's literally how he ate. He said he was starving, truly like a starving actor, only he was a starving football player. And he said every week, you know, he was on injured reserve. So he said every week, one of the guys that was playing on Sunday, every week on Saturday, one of the guys was saying, "Playing? Why are you at this meeting, man? This is only for the guys who are playing tomorrow. You're on injured reserve, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah, I'm on." He said, "You don't have to come to this meeting.
He said every week, right before he got ready to pack up his sandwiches, he'd say, oh, man, I didn't have to come this week. Oh, I didn't know that, man. Take the three pieces of the six-foot hero, put a couple of them in his bag, and go ahead. That's how he survived, Doc, for the better part of a year, eating the sandwiches that they served at the team meetings on Saturday and trying to look surprised when the guys would be like, wait, you don't have to be here. He said, what? I don't have to be here. Take three pieces of the six-foot hero. And that's literally how the guy survived. I say that, Doc, because now the guy makes between $5 and $10 million per movie.
Oh, wow. He's back in wrestling, too, isn't he?
Right. He was at the last WrestleMania, as a matter of fact, beating
he's also
John
filming,
Cena.
He's also filming for the another installment of Fast and the Furious. So.
And they have him scheduled to go this week to go, what's the new center, Doc, the new stadium? What, Betts Stadium or whatever it is? For this year's WrestleMania, he's actually, I think it's going to be, I think John Cena again, and some guy they've been promoting is Rise Actress or some good thing.
Oh, wow.
A guy about 290 or so, bodybuilder, weightlifter type. But yeah, that's how he said he survived for the better part of a year, eating sandwiches from the team meeting and acting surprised when guys would say, Dwayne, aren't you on injured reserve? He said, yeah. You don't have to be here, man. It's only for the guys you're playing tomorrow. He said every week he go, what? Are you serious? I don't have to be here. And said that's how the guy ate for the better part of a year, Doc. So that's part
of the reason.
Are you serious? Kid you not. That's why he said he was starving. He said he cut those six-foot heroes up, put them in the bag, and that's why the guy ate. Had one piece for breakfast, one piece for lunch, one piece for dinner.
Yeah, it reminds me. I remember Tex Cobb fought Larry Holmes, and Cobb was making $75,000. I think Larry's getting like $1 million for the fight.
Wow.
And
that was a fight that Howard Cosell retired off of.
Right.
Tex Cobb, really?
Randall
Tex
Cobb.
Yeah, that was right, Doc. He said
he was pissed off during
the telecast of that fight.
Front on face, stop this thing.
Anymore.
This is disgusting. I've had it with boxing.
Yeah.
I'm through with it. I will never do another boxing match. This is disgusting. He's the champion.
What a sad display.
He did beat the crap out of Randall Tex Cobb. I mean,
well, you know what I remember? I remember Cobb was making $75,000. And the writer said, $75,000, that's no money. And I remember Cobb looking at the guy when he walked out, and he turned to us and he said, that guy must not have been eating a lot of bologna sandwiches lately, you know what I mean?
What people don't remember about that fight with Larry Holmes is there were parts in that fight where Larry just got tired of hitting the guy, man, and really didn't want to beat him up anymore. And when he kind of tried to lay off, and Cisco, think about this, because I know you probably... When Larry kind of tried to lay off and tone it down, the crowd booed him, man. I mean, they were bloodthirsty.
But they wanted him to get rid of him. That's pretty much
yeah,
it.
They wanted to knock him out.
When Larry tried to lay off a little bit, Doc, like I said, he was beating the guy mercifully. Larry's like, I don't want to beat this guy
the
up
problem,
anymore.
The
man.
Problem was that Randall Tex Cobb could take a punch.
Like Doc said, the problem of being able to take a punch sometimes is you get your brain scrambled taking punches.
It's what Mayweather said. They were talking to Mayweather one time. They said, you know, so and so has a lot of heart. Mayweather said, you know, heart can get you killed in this game. And you talk about Cosell. And once again, everybody, Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, Blogspot. Now, Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, blogspot.com.br. That's my blogspot. DocStanleySports.com is my site. And we've got some Larry Holmes stuff in there. Larry Holmes had the same birthday as both my daughter and the late, great Hal Jackson. Yo, what, you know.
Actually, Larry Holmes was one of my favorite fighter growing up, heavyweight fighter.
Mm-hmm.
The Eastern Assassin? Shit.
Eastern Assassin.
Yeah, fast hands. Great chin, good right hand, all around total fighter, Larry Holmes.
Well, you know, he was. Yeah, what Cosell? I remember Cosell because he was the guy that backed Ali. He was the guy who always telling it like it is. But I remember Julius, sir, being out of Julius' house one evening. I took the train out there,
And he said, hey, Mel, take the car. And then when Junior started talking about the car, he's got a Jaguar out there, he's got an Avanti, and he's got a Corvette. He said, yeah, Mel, look, you know what, take the Corvette. So I drove the Corvette home, and maybe during the week, you know, he called me, he said, Mel, you know, I said, I got the car. Junior said, oh, don't worry about it. So there was a dinner. He said, look, me and Turk are going to be at this dinner, coming up to the dinner, and, you know, Turk can drive the car back, or I'll drive the car back. So I pull up to the dinner. Parked the car. It was so different then, man. You could find a place to park. It didn't cost you an arm and a leg. So I parked the vet. And me, was married to my wife, we go in and say, hey, Julius, here's the keys. Oh, hey, Mel, sit down, have some meat. Sit down. Hey, go sit at table 17. So I go sit at table 17. Cosell was the MC, and me and my ex-wife, we were sitting having dinner with Cosell's wife. They said he really doted on her, thought the world of her. And I remember asking Cosell, the last time I saw Howard Cosell alive, because I'd met him on many occasions, was that the Muhammad Ali was the first winner of the Potemkin Award, and he was there, and that was the last time I had seen Howard alive. I think people had said, you know, Howard was a boxing man, but when he moved into other venues, they really found out that his expertise was boxing, and he wasn't as well-rounded in sports as the perception was. But Howard Cosell, speaking of sports, a lawyer, I think, if I'm correct, I think he was Jackie Robinson's attorney at one time. I know he was an attorney of a pretty famous guy, you know.
And a pretty funny guy, Doc. He once had a cameo on this comedy called The Odd Couple with Tony Randall and Jack Lugman.
Oh, man, look.
It's pretty funny. Right.
Yeah. Tony Randall, Jack Klugman.
And you know something, Doc? Let me say something about Klugman, the guy that played Oscar.
Oscar.
In real life, he dabbled in horse racing, and he actually owned a filly named Jacqueline Klugman.
Really?
Kid you not. That was the filly that he owned, Jacqueline Klugman.
Really? You know, I remember him in an old Twilight Zone story. And it was about horse racing. And he took this camera and he took a picture. And about 10 minutes later, whatever he took, it came about. So the camera could take pictures of the future. So they took it to the racetrack and took a picture of the racetrack. And it gave them the horse that was going to win. And that's how they started winning. You know, but I believe the camera ran out of film or something like that. But it's ironic that you mentioned about Klugman and horse racing, because it was this thing where they took this camera, took a picture. It would tell you the future, and what they did, they went to the racetrack and they took a picture, and it told them the horse that was going to win the race, and that's how they started betting and winning money. And either the camera ran out of film or something like that. But it's just amazing that you mentioned Klugman. In fact, in the movie, Klugman was played by Walter Matthau, and Phyllis Unger was by the great, late, great Jack Lemmon.
All right, those were the original actors. When they brought it to TV, they played the movie version, but when they actually brought it to TV as a series, were replaced by Tony Randall and Jack Klugman.
Tony Randall was at my daughter Dusty's niece Demi's graduation when Pratt Institute graduated at Rockefeller Center, and he was there with Mr. Melvin Pasternak, who was my English teacher who got me into shape. Remember that great line, friends, Roman and countrymen, I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. You know, the evil that men do often lives after them, while the good gets entered with their bones. We want to apologize for the interruption.
You know,
by
Tony Randall became a father at 70.
Yeah. But I believe I think it was 75, and I believe who I met him one time too, and his autograph is in the Sports and Depth Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. Anthony Quinn.
Anthony Quinn.
Yeah, I think he was 80. He was 80 something. And
yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Oh, gentlemen. Oh, yeah. We got to run here. It's time to run. Okay, Rooney, tell everybody good night.
The Sports and Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink been here.
and that indeed has been Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. Dusty, say goodnight in Spanish.
Me no speak Spanish, man. I know English. I'm an American citizen. I don't have to be speaking Spanish. Buenas noches. God bless. God bless everybody.
Say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, y'all.
And we'll see you tomorrow night. Three thoughts. Live your life today. Have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question, what are you doing for others? Service to others is rent you pay for your space. And Larry Hart, you got something to say?
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
And with that, we're going to close out with the greatest rendition of the first Noel I ever heard, Howard Hewitt. The gang has been here, the Cisco Kid, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Dusty X. We'll be back tomorrow night, 11 o'clock, with another sports wrap. Until then, leave you again with those three thoughts. Live your life today as if it's sin before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? That's Dr. King's service to others is rent you pay for your space on earth. And as Gloria Gaynor once sung and said, Jesus is the reason for the season. Devin here, baby, the Cisco Kid, the Stanio Double X. That's the X. Harold Weston, Junior Double Barrel. Harold, Lady A is out on assignment with Navy Baseball. Over here tomorrow, Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Thanks for being with us. Howard, the floor is all yours. Bethlehem it took. Oh, oh, oh.
nobody cares. Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live.
Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to love, you got love. Save the babies. Oh, the little fear. You got feeling. You will save the babies. All of the children. But who really cares?
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. Trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside's blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas. And cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, fireside's blazing bright.